I've got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm a guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Hello, this is Matthew Bronson, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 FM in Placitas, New Mexico. From what I understand, we are the sound of the high desert, from a website I saw. So, welcome to the high desert. All of us in Placitas are very aware that, in some ways, we are a little bit isolated from the rest of New Mexico or the Albuquerque area. So, safety is always a concern. Home break-in, things stolen from our cars, any kind of crime, personal or residential. So we want to learn more about that. So today on Conversations, we're going to have a conversation with Lieutenant Mills of the Sandoval County Sheriff's Office to learn more about being safe in our community, as well as more about Lieutenant Mills. So welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, sir.
So the Sandoval County Sheriff's Office... And the last time, I believe, I saw you, you were part of a presentation at the community center on some of the burglaries that were coming in.
Yes, that's correct.
And I believe at that time you were a sergeant.
I was.
And so congratulations.
Thank you.
Was there a particular event that precipitated the promotion?
They had added a lieutenant's position to the sheriff's office. And so there was a testing process and basically, I got the position.
Well, super. You know, we were talking about it the other night, about your promotion.
Right.
And thinking about, well, you know, because we both, I thought I've worked a lot with the DOD and all of that years ago. And, you know, a lot of the people complained, the military, because there wasn't like a really good war going on, and,
right.
And that's the best way to get a promotion. But that's not true in law enforcement.
No, not so much.
Good.
It's more budget.
It's funny how everything always comes back to that.
Yeah, budget and need.
Yeah. If people want to explore more about the sheriff's office, of course, there's a website, SandovalCounty.com, and another website that I'm sure you'll repeat later on, is SCSO, which is Sandoval County Sheriff's Office, crimewatch@sandovalcounty.com, and we'll tell you why you might want to use that later. Now, as you drive around, or as we all drive around the area, we see vehicles that are obviously police of some kind.
Right.
And then you go, oh, well, that's there's Pueblo, and there's Rio Rancho. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of how we're set up in, I guess, Sandoval County, how many forces there are, who's at the top of the food chain, and who do we call for what?
Sure. So basically, if you call 911, you're going to get the Sandoval County Emergency, you know, Dispatch Communication Center. They're going to make the decision at that point who to send. 99 out of 100 times, it's going to be the sheriff's office. They'll be depending on where it's at. But, you know, the state police, obviously, they do have jurisdiction throughout the state. And, you know, the way the government is set up, the way policing is set up in the state of New Mexico, you do have a sheriff's office that is they're responsible for their county, typically the unincorporated areas of their county. So in our county, we have Rio Rancho, and we have the town of Bernalillo. We have Corrales.
There's a Corrales police too.
Yes.
Okay.
So Corrales has its own police department. Obviously, everyone knows Rio Rancho has their own police department. And also the town of Bernalillo has their own police department. So basically anything that occurs inside their areas, their incorporated city or town areas,
right,
that they handle. We might get called. Sometimes we get called to things to assist them. On a rare occasion, we might get called where someone felt that they had an issue with that agency and they're not comfortable with that agency, talking to that agency, and we may end up, you know, going and handling it because it is still our county.
One incident and they write off the whole sheriff's office.
So, And then, of course, you know, then we have all the Pueblos and all the Native American Pueblos. And basically, those areas, some have police departments, some do not, inside our county.
And, all right, well, the Pueblos are kind of autonomous. Even though if they have any law enforcement issues, they're going to dial 911, too.
That's correct.
I have not spent any amount of time of significance on the Pueblos. Do most homes have telephones? Well, I guess everybody has a cell phone now.
Anymore. Yeah, I mean, I've not really seen that as a problem. They don't have internet, you know, as much as where you have internet lines.
Right.
But as far as phones, I've not really seen that as an issue.
Okay.
But if they dial 911, you know, then it's up to the dispatch to send the appropriate, you know, response, law enforcement response. So if it was, you know, if it's Jemez Pueblo, for instance, then they're going to send the Jemez police.
Right.
Now, they're on the same channel as us, so we will hear that call. So we know what's going on because we can hear it.
Sure.
With Jemez Police Department. The same thing with Sandia, we're on the same channel. There are some that we're not on the same channel.
Okay. So I'm trying to...
We could flip to the Kent channel if we wanted to, but it's just not the common channel.
The one you monitor all
the time. Yes, the one that we monitor.
But if dispatch needs you, they'll
call
you.
Right, then they'll send us, yes.
So I'm driving down 550.
Right.
Towards Cuba. There's an accident. I'm in an accident.
Right.
Just happens to be a state trooper. This sounds like a bad joke. A state trooper, a county sheriff, a Rio Rancho policeman, and... I don't know.
So all right there.
We're all right there. Yeah. So who's in charge of that crime scene?
You know, it would be... So I guess let's take it a little further out where it's a little bit past... let's say it's between here and like San Ysidro.
Okay.
So that wouldn't be Rio Rancho, even though they could be in that area, so they probably would not handle. But they could say, I'll go ahead and take it.
Okay.
Typically, it would be between the state police and us, and it would be just really, to be honest with you, it's kind of a gentleman's thing as who's going to take it, if and who's busier or not.
Right.
So we take quite a few accidents on 550. Excuse me. And the state police also takes quite a few accidents. They have the state police does have a station in Cuba.
Okay.
So they do have, you know. Troopers there pretty much all the time. So they do, in our county up there, they do assist us quite a bit because they have their own station there.
Well, certainly. So as far as the sheriff's office goes, there is a sheriff.
Correct.
And
he's elected.
He's elected. And how long is that term?
Four.
And how many terms can he have?
Two.
Okay. Just like president.
For now.
Yes.
There's actually, I think, they had tried to change that, or back and forth, they had tried to change it where you could be, I think, life, or they go both ways. You know, they want to cut it, they want to make it longer, and
right.
There's different opinions on it. But right now, it's current.
That's the state legislature that controls that?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm not an expert on that.
And then, is there a corporation where you have the equivalent of, you know, three presidents and... eight vice presidents and then regional managers, or you just have officers and then they get promoted as a vacancy comes up?
Well, typically you have the sheriff, you have the undersheriff typically the undersheriff runs the day-to-day operation of the organization.
Right.
It would be essentially like a deputy chief of a police department.
Okay.
And then you'll have a captain underneath that, you know, the next... bottom, the guys you're going lower, you would have a captain. The captain is more running the actual patrol officers, the actual functions of the sheriff's office.
Right.
And then you have lieutenants that run individual units and areas. So, like, for instance, what I'm in charge of is I'm in charge of the investigations area, which is the detectives. I'm also in charge of the property and evidence, which is kind of a separate section where we store all our property and evidence. And then I'm also in charge of the records area. And the records, of course, is where all the police records are stored and how we disseminate those, how people come in and ask for records and things like that. So that's more of an administrative area with civilians.
And the county is 21st century? Everything's digitized? Or it's still got a roll of paper?
Currently, right now, we're actually going to a new computer system for the actual deputies to enter reports. And we've been trying to transition to this system for the last few months. We have probably a quarter of our department already entering into this system.
Right.
There's some kinks that we're working out with any system. In my career, I've been through three of these systems.
Right.
So I'm pretty familiar that there's nothing called perfect.
Right.
Everything is you have to work through, and each specific agency has its own little kinks. So we've been working with that. At some point when that is done and we have everyone on that, it would give us more sophistication in being able to look people up. The speed of the officers making the reports. I'm sure that a lot of people in Placidas see officers sitting like at the recycle area or mile marker one over there.
Yes.
By La Puerta. Typically, they're doing reports, and right now our report system is not real fast. I mean, it takes them probably 45 minutes to do a report.
So they're doing online work from the cruiser?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically the way it works is that they do the report. They can do the report sitting anywhere, and then this new system, what they used to have to do was put it on a stick, go inside, print it,
right,
and a memory stick.
Right.
Go inside, print it, and a lot of...
put it on a twig. That's really old tech.
Yeah, that's really old tech. Sometimes I wonder. but the way this system works is that when they pull into the parking lot, it'll actually grab it off of the unit.
Okay.
And so...
Well, that's pretty whiz-bang.
So, yeah, and it would... And a lot of departments have this. It would give the deputies a lot more time out into the field to where they could do what we call real police work instead
right.
of just doing paperwork.
Right.
It would cut down on that paperwork.
You got to keep records.
You have to keep records, and they have to be, you know, very correct. And
accessible always helps.
Yes. And also the public wants, when they want their copies or, you know, they get involved in a crash, you know, a lot of things, they need it for insurance. People, you know, are waiting for that insurance money, and they want their
sure.
reports in a respectable amount of time.
As far as the sheriff's office, how many employees are there on the payroll? Not just officers, but
yeah,
staff.
Probably around between 50 and 60, depending on.
Okay. And then what I would refer to as sworn officers?
We run
people with guns.
Yeah, we run in the high 40s.
Okay. That's doesn't seem like a lot of people for the number of square miles.
Yeah, I mean, I would. There's always everybody always wants more,
right?
In a perfect world, but you know, I mean, right now we're staffing, you know, what's adequate, you know, to serve.
I don't know if you ever pay any attention to this, but kind of a barometer of how big the county is. When you were an officer with Las Cruces,
El Paso,
versus Sandoval County. How many miles a year did you put on your vehicle between the two?
I've always been a detective, so you know, I guess when I was a young kid and I was in patrol, we would put about 120 miles on a unit a night.
Okay.
And that was like graveyard where you're doing more driving.
Okay.
So on a day or swing shift where you're bouncing from hot call to hot call, you might put 60 or 70 miles on a car.
We don't have as many hot calls.
No, but they're far. So, I mean, I can call out a detective, and I'm more familiar with what the detectives do because I pretty much spent my career here as a detective, and also in El Paso, I was a detective for almost 18 years there. So I'm a little bit more familiar with mileage and things, you know, how things work with calling out a detective.
Sure.
But here, I mean, we might call out a detective at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and it might be 45 minutes north of Cuba. So we're talking an hour to Cuba,
right.
Another 45 minutes to the call. So we're talking 2 hours just to get there.
And that almost seems pointless because by the time you're there, is everything all done?
Well, this is they hold the scene, and
okay.
You know, they'll hold the deputies will hold the scene, and then we'll get up there and start our investigation.
So if you're...
This isn't after the fact.
Thing. Okay.
But we do have deputies, you know, in Cuba. There should be one there now. Also in Jemez.
Want to call it?
Yeah. And they can respond. Typically, if something happens, like in the far out reaches of the county like that, state police will assist us. Cuba Police Department has police officers, and they'll assist us. And then also the Bureau of Indian Affairs has federal officers that will assist us.
And do you know how many vehicles are part of the Sheriff's Department, Sheriff's Office?
One for each deputy.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And detective. But yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. Is that, and we have probably like 5 to 10 pool vehicles.
Is there a like a garage where they get serviced?
The county has has a garage for all the county.
And I would think economies of scale that you would have like Bernalillo and some of the other departments make use of your garage.
No, it's just county. But the county has roads, the roads department. Okay. They have a lot of departments. They have a lot of vehicles. I don't have the clue how many, but...
Well, that's true.
They do have a lot more than what you would think. They have a senior citizens program that has vehicles to take, you know, food to people. They have...
fire.
Yeah, fire too. Yeah.
Road work stuff. Yeah, because I remember when they were repaving or fixing 550 up by Santa Ana. There are a lot of heavy equipment out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they go to Bob's Road Truck Rental or that's part of their inventory.
Yeah.
But some cities, counties, whatever, the law enforcement departments have become what I would characterize as super militarized, like with MRAPs and things like that. You know, everything I see on the Dallas SWAT.
Right.
Which may or may not be accurate. how's the county?
So that's an interesting question. That's one thing that does come up. So basically, the county, we have entered into a memorandum of agreement with the Rio Rancho Police Department. And they are basically either the Rio Rancho Police Department or the New Mexico State Police. They're the ones that we use for SWAT emergency situations.
Right.
So we do not have any of those vehicles or any of that kind of thing.
We do not
have a SWAT team.
No drones?
No drones. We do have a tracking team.
Okay.
It's fairly new. Since I've been here, when I first came here back in 2007, they did have like a little SWAT team. The San Juan County did have a little SWAT team. But, you know, in my opinion, it wasn't utilized enough for them to be proficient at what they do. And the amount of training and the amount of the amount of time that you're taken away from the street to do that job is quite a bit.
Certainly.
And so it's kind of bounced back and forth from not having one to having one. So basically, at this point, what we've kind of settled down to is we have a tracking team. It's more, a lot of our calls are looking for lost people. A lot of our calls are looking for someone who is wanted, who has gone off the main road and gone into the sticks, into the forest or into the high desert. A lot of it's just kind of search and rescue type stuff, but it also could be dangerous search and rescue type stuff. So we've basically gone to a tracking team, which does have some training, what I guess you would call it a type of SWAT training.
But tracking, I would think you would outsource to the Parks Department or the Boy Scouts or something, someone who...
No, because actually the tracking is what, it's utilized a lot because of just the type of area the county is. Everything is dirt. It's not a lot of roads.
I noticed that.
Yeah. So
that's why there's like the highest concentration of car washes I've ever seen in my life.
So, it's not uncommon for us to have to track somebody down through their tracks.
Right.
And so it's actually been pretty beneficial. Even in the last year, the tracking team has actually made several arrests of people who were breaking into homes and who, bailed from stolen vehicles and things like that.
So
and also has gone and got some people who were lost or car crashed, where it was in accessible terrain because of the snow and things like that.
Right. Well, the Placitas area or Sandoval County versus, where you were working in Texas, That's more of like a city.
It was a city, but we actually had the outskirts of the city there where it's desert.
Right.
And so we actually I had more tracking experience there than I have gotten yet here, but just because and we had Border Patrol there, so Border Patrol are pretty good trackers.
Sure.
And that's something that they train them. But we actually, you know, that even early in my career, we did that quite a bit, just because of the desert terrain.
Yeah,
even though it's a city,
here,
you
know, so many hikers or whatever.
Right.
This is a very outdoorsy place.
Right.
Well, speaking of tracking, does the county maintain a stable with some horses?
We don't. Do not have a horse.
Would you want a horse?
No.
You don't have tracking.
We do have. You know, we had a missing person that had disappeared off of the mesa a few years back. And that was a pretty big, extensive search. And we actually we have access to the sheriff's posse.
Okay.
And the sheriff's posse are, you know, people, they're volunteers on horses. And basically, they're pretty good about following our directions and things like that. And so if we do need that, we do have accessibility to that. And APD has horses, too.
It's interesting. I just thought the sheriff's posse up there by the warrior, you just had a neat rodeo every year.
Yeah.
It's actually a group of volunteers.
Yes. And it's separate from the sheriff's office, but they do have that, you know, they're fairly trained. They do work well. We also have, like, dogs that search for people. Organizations.
Oh.
Private organizations, you know, nonprofit organizations that have that kind of thing, and they also work well with the horses.
Well, it sounds like the law enforcement community kind of mirrors everything that I've seen in Placidas, that it's very community involved.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to volunteer for at least a half a dozen groups,
right.
And obviously including law enforcement.
Right.
So, well, how does one become a sheriff? At least in, you know, Sandoval County.
Yeah, you know, we have, they post positions. There's some posted right now, I'm pretty sure, on the web. And so basically what a person would do is they would apply. There's a certain criteria in that.
Right.
They would apply, and then we would, you know, our first steps is that we do a background investigation on them.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, and that's pretty thorough. A lot don't pass. They do a physical assessment where they, you know, running and push-ups and all that kind of thing. And then also a physical with a doctor.
Right.
And then there's a psychological exam. And then a lot of times, you know, we'll hire, we call that person a non-certified person.
Right.
So, you know, we hire them and then they'll work, you know, at the sheriff's office without a gun for a while. And then when an academy opens up, we will send them through an academy.
So you can actually be hired on almost as like an intern in a way.
Kind of, in a way, yes.
Until the next academy class opens.
Right. And we send, depending on budgets and things like that, we'll send them to the State Police Academy, or sometimes we use the Bernalillo Sheriff's Academy.
So how long can you be a non-certified employee before you might become certified?
I believe it's a year.
Okay, so that's not terrible.
Yeah, they change things, you know, according to, but I think it's a year is what they allow. And under this administration, we don't allow them to carry guns or anything. There are some that do.
Okay.
Even though they haven't gone through an official academy.
Sure. And I assume it's the usual kind of stuff, like minimum of a high school diploma.
Yeah, and then a U.S. citizen. Mexico doesn't allow somebody to be a police officer if they're not a U.S. citizen. Some states do. Texas does.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But you have to be...
We had German military people and people from England.
But they're not hiring undocumented people in the police force in Texas.
Right. No. You have to have your papers.
that would be the background check.
Yeah, that would be part of the background.
So you get all the special training that anyone would get through the...
Right.
And how is it as a career? I mean, you're on your second,
career.
You must like it.
You know, it's a challenging career. You get a lot of satisfaction. I mean, in helping people and just the satisfaction of being a part of the community.
Right. When you were first deciding to join law enforcement, if for some reason you had not been accepted, what was your second choice? You know, were you like 18 or 20? Or
I was 20, 21. Actually, I was rejected the first time. I actually, my parents owned a refrigeration business, and so I had gone to school to be a refrigeration person.
Okay.
And
which is a good career.
Which was a good career. And I was actually making more money. And so they had turned me down because they felt that I was making more money than I was going to make as a police officer. Why would I do this? And so I wouldn't last. So they basically told me, go back, go take some college classes, and then come back and show us that you're really serious about this, and then we'll hire you. And I did that. And a year later, I came back and they hired me. Don't ask me why I jumped from refrigeration man to police officer. I can't really tell you.
it wasn't like a childhood thing. I want to be a police officer.
No, not really. I had little military thoughts, you know, and like all kids, not all kids, but like kids have about,
right,
you know, military and things like that. But no, it was just one of those things.
And how is the sheriff's office as far as complexion of people who are, you know, right out of high school versus retired military versus...
You know, the sheriff's office in general has what I would call an older group. You know, we have a lot of people in our 30s and 40s versus, you know, police departments a lot of times have a lot of 20s, 20-year-olds.
Right.
I think we do kind of get a little bit of a more mature group. And I can't really explain why. It's just...
Well, isn't that perhaps a little bit of an advantage where so many of the people in the county are more mature? You can relate more.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely an advantage because you have people that are calmer and they're just more mature. I mean, it's a kind of a no-brainer. They're usually better in handling people. They're right. Less, you know, less to get excited. They've already made their mistakes. And we do hire a lot of police officers that come from other areas and even other parts of the United States that would not... Look, if you've been a police officer in another state and you've already been through a police academy,
right,
you are not... Chances are you are not going to be too keen on joining like APD, who makes you go through a police academy.
Right.
It'd be like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm a little old for that. Even if you're in your 30s,
sure,
you know, you don't want to be yelled at and all that things that go on in that military type atmosphere.
It's a boot camp kind of?
It is.
Okay.
And so we get a lot of people that will join our department because they know they don't have to go through that.
But you still receive orientation and training,
yes,
every year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But you don't have to have that.
They don't have to break your spirit.
Yeah, that, you know, months at a police academy.
Which might be appropriate if right. You're 18 and...
right. It is. But yeah,
it's for everybody's safety.
You've already been through one, you know. They're all, throughout the United States, they're very similar.
Right.
You know, it's a similar training, similar laws. We're still all the United States of America, and we still have to go by what the
right.
Constitution says.
Sure.
So
yeah, I mean, and I like learning, and my career always, my employers always required, you know, 40 hours a year of professional training or whatever.
Right.
But I don't think I want to sit through Zoology 101 again.
Right, right. And that's the bottom line. That's kind of, I mean, that's a very good analogy.
Because nobody liked that class. The county maintains its own jail system?
It's separate from the sheriff's department, but yes, we have a jail.
Okay, but the sheriff has...
No.
So you arrest me. Well, you would let me go because you like me.
But, there you go.
So the decision was made that I'm putting on the metal bracelets.
Right.
I watch too much TV. Where do I go?
You would go to the Sandoval County Detention Center.
Okay.
But it is totally separate from the sheriff's office. I mean, yes, it's our county.
Right.
But it is a totally separate entity.
So you just go into like the Sally part or whatever and go, hey, Sally, I got one for you.
It would be no different than Rio Rancho taking somebody in or any other agency for that matter. It would be the same. You know, it is a totally separate entity. The only way it's not a separate entity is if there's a death that occurs there or something, a crime that occurs there, then my detectives usually do investigate that.
Okay.
Because it is the county and it's a county facility.
And let me remind everybody that this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 on FM dial in the high desert, Placidas, New Mexico. I understand it is the land of enchantment. And we are having conversation with Lieutenant Mills of the Sandoval County Sheriff's Office. And I'm having a good time. I hope he is. I'm learning a lot. You were nice enough to provide some data. So let's talk about Placitas. I think the very top thing on your chart is, how safe is Placitas? And I guess, you know, relative to what?
Relative to what, yeah. And that is...
We're better than Compton.
And yeah, that is a... I mean, it's of course, everything's relative. But, I mean, overall, Placitas, in my opinion, and the way I feel, is that it's very safe. We have very little violent crime, if any at all. Mm-hmm. Most of that violent, if what violent crime that we have had is fairly targeted, meaning that the individual was involved in something that brought that up, you know, I wouldn't say brought that upon them, but there was a reason why they became a victim of a violent crime. It wasn't just some random crime where somebody was, you know, walking into their house,
right,
you know, with groceries. We have, of course, everyone's aware, we have some home burglaries. Everyone has home burglaries. We have some car burglaries. You know, most of the home burglaries, it's been my experience in the last 7 or 8 years, most of the home burglaries are people coming from Las Lunas, Albuquerque. They just happen to find Placitas. How they found it, who knows? And then they come driving around here and they think these are really nice houses and they must have some really nice stuff. And, you know...
They haven't been to my house.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of times I think they're disappointed because, you know, a lot of people in Placitas are... It's an older community.
Right.
We don't have all... You know, not everyone has all the really fancy high-tech things that younger people want to buy. And
right.
So I think a lot of times they go away, you know, dumbfounded, like, gee, that was a really nice house, but I really didn't get a lot of stuff. They'll take silver, you know.
Sure.
And that's a pretty hot commodity. So I would suggest people hide their silver. you know, a lot of that, most of the houses in Placitas that we've had burglaries at, some have the alarms on, some don't. I would, you know, stress that everyone should leave their, if you paid for it to have an alarm, then use it. I've actually recently received calls from some alarm companies asking us if we have an alarm ordinance and do we fine people for having too many alarms, false alarms, and things like that. And we do have an ordinance, so this is just to tell you how strong that ordinance is. I've not actually read it, and
okay.
I've been here 8 years. In the 8 years I've been here, we've never fined anybody, to my knowledge. We don't, you know, it's just not something that we've had a problem
or
with.
Or false triggers.
Right, for false alarms. So I would, you know, urge people to set their alarms. If they are having a lot of false alarms, then we'll help you figure it out. A lot of times it's the way the sun shines in the window. It's just a lot of different little things, little quirks.
Right.
But the deputies are pretty good at knowing what these things are. And if you get 3 or 4 false alarms, then, you know, ask the deputy for some help or give me a call, and we'll help you try to get your alarm squared away where it works better. But we would rather you have the alarm.
Maybe call your alarm company.
Well, if it's monitored, exactly.
Right.
But even if you have an unmonitored one that just, you know, makes noise for the neighbors, and then, you know, the neighbor will call, that's still better than nothing.
Right.
You know, alarms make a difference. I mean, if picture yourself as a burglar, obviously you're not going to feel as comfortable in a house that's got a screaming alarm going on taking the TV.
Correct.
I mean, you still may take it, but, you know, you're not going to be...
You're going to walk a little
faster.
Yeah,
you're going to walk a little faster, and you're not going to get as much.
Well, from a law enforcement perspective and yourself knowing Placitas very well, and the building economy is coming back, mm-hmm. more and more people are buying,
right.
building here. How important is it for them to add that expense of an alarm to their home?
You know, I think that even resale value of a home, you know, people want to buy even if they never use it, they still want to buy a house with an alarm.
Right.
So I just think it's kind of, you know, and alarms are cheap right now. Video alarm systems or video systems are really cheap right now. I mean, a lot of people are going to these camera systems that it sends you a text
Right.
And you can look on your smartphone and you can actually see who's at the door and things like that. You're talking less than $500 for that kind of thing. And that, and you don't even have to pay any monthly fee for that. I mean, that's just, that's free.
That's
amazing. Other than the initial cost. And a lot of times they'll try to sell you a service that where it can be stored up in the cloud. But if you get a text and it's on your phone, you can do a screenshot save.
Right.
And you've got the guy's face, you know, of who it was.
Right. Or gal.
Or the vehicle, if it's getting the vehicle. It's just, to me, it's just having an alarm. It helps. I mean, it helps us. It helps you. But turning it on, if you already have one, even helps more.
Absolutely. All right, so Placidus is relatively low crime, and I would say minor crime, but nonviolent crime.
Right.
So
a lot of little thefts, you know, people steal people's yard lights. A lot of, you know, we've had in the last year, and I don't really keep track of all the car burglary numbers over the years, but in my opinion, we kind of had, you know, last year we had quite a few of the car burglaries. But the interesting thing about that was is they were almost every single one of them was unlocked. And people are very lackadaisy about leaving things like purses, guns, or even guns, and computers, and money, and all kinds of things in their car in Placidus, because I guess they feel that it's just such a safe place. They don't have to even worry about locking their car or taking these things inside the house. And the problem with that is that you get a burglar who comes in, or a thief that comes into Placidus. He finds two or three cars one night like that, and then he goes back, and what do you think he does? He tells his friends, hey, those Placidus people, they leave all kinds of good stuff in their car, and if they go to sell something like a computer, where'd you get that? Well, I broke into the car up in Placidus. I didn't even have to break in. It was wide open, and they left this. So then that's put the seed of thought into other criminals.
Sure.
And the next thing you know, we start getting, you know, more criminals coming in. And I think a lot of that is ironic as it sounds. We've arrested a lot of people from Las Lunas and Belen. Why Las Lunas and Belen? Well, it has to be because they're talking.
Right.
And all the way south, you know, it's an hour drive from here, but yet, you know, somehow they're finding their ways up here sometimes. And even like with these recent mailbox break-ins, some of the individuals were from down south.
Are these the big post office provided multiple mailbox things, or
right.
I see a lot of...
Right. Some are provided by the post office. Some are actually were put in by the builder that built that community. So some are post office.
It's not the old-fashioned...
Right. No, I'm talking about the aluminum, the metal,
right.
Metal ones and where they get in. And basically they were going in there and they were taking packages and mail and things like that. And these kind of things throughout my career, even where I worked before, they kind of go up and down. And, you know, you might go 2 years without having mailbox problems, and then all of a sudden you'll have months of it.
Right.
And then it goes away for a year or two. And it's just a strange thing, you know. In the old days, it used to be the Social Security checks. You know, we would even have certain individuals that... And that kind of got to where, you know, the Fed started prosecuting those individuals, so it wasn't quite so fun anymore. And so that kind of put an end to that for a while.
Right.
You know, when they start doing 10 or 15 years in federal prison for stealing mail, then it's not quite...
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
And the word gets around. Word gets around through the criminal community. Hey, this is not good. This guy is doing 20 years. And it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And they'll go shoplift at Home Depot or something instead. You know?
Yeah.
So,
like a lot of it is crimes of opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
And people are very strange. I fly a fair amount, and of course I go through TSA, and mm-hmm. I'm always very chatty with them, and you know, like, what's the craziest thing that you ever found?
Right.
I mean, that even in, you know, not in LA or San Francisco, you know,
right.
Smaller airports, people will still pack their guns, or they'll be carrying their gun.
Yes, sir.
Didn't you think about that? You're going through TSA.
Going through TSA.
So, your point about not locking your car, that's just common sense.
Right.
My wife, actually, we have a garage, mm-hmm. and she even locks the car in the garage.
And that's
don't you trust me? I have a key anyway.
You know, and that's a good point, and that's not a bad idea, especially if you're out of town. But, you know, and that's another thing that we've had is we've had instances where, you know, thieves have gone into the garage, the keys are hanging right there next to the entry door into the house.
Sure. That's
and they grab the keys right off of there and they take the car. And I haven't had this happen, but in the town of Bernalillo, they had a case where the individuals broke into a car at the airport and got the keys to the house, the address off of the registration, and came back to Bernalillo and broke into the house and stole cars out of the garage and cleaned out the house because they knew they were gone.
Wow.
So even, you know, that seems kind of out there, that all the way at the airport parking that they would do all that, but it happens. And so, you know, leaving car keys, leaving, you know, identifications in your house when you're gone, you know, passports and things like that, it always pays to hide that stuff and hide it well.
Yeah. Years ago when we bought our first car that had a built-in navigation system, the salesman at the dealer said, because most of them have a little button in the navigation to guide me home.
Right.
To pick a house around the corner from your house. Mm-hmm. Don't put your actual address in the guide me home, which I thought that was very, very smart.
Yeah.
You know, criminal mind.
Right.
So we talked about if there is a need, you dial 911 and the dispatcher will decide who comes out. We talked about, you know, turning your alarm on if you have one. If you go out of town, let your neighbors know.
Yes. And a lot of times that, like, and I'll just give you, for instance, this morning, we got a call to a house up in Placidas, just right before I came into this interview, where we received two 911 calls from that house, and one of them, the person hung up. So they had called me because they wanted to force entry into the house.
Sure.
And I told the deputies, you know what, see if you can look through some windows and find a window that you don't have to destroy the house to get in, but you know, there's possible that there's somebody that broke their hip or something in the house.
Right.
And especially since we got a second call and it hung up. But luckily, a neighbor comes walking over. Oh, we're watching their house. They're in Florida or wherever, and nobody's home. But I have a key.
Okay.
So the officer went into the house, and every once in a while we get this anomaly where 911's just wrong.
Right.
I mean, it's just one of those quirks. You know,
sure.
It doesn't happen often, but it happens enough to where, you know, you're a little bit hesitant sometimes of breaking somebody's door down over a 911 call when we do get false alarms, and especially more in the county, I think, than in the city, but maybe not. But, you know, I think lines get crossed and things like that, you know, with whoever has the phone system.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's...
But that was one where the neighbor helped out.
And right.
My deputies didn't have to damage a window.
Well, and, you know, people might have some hearing problems at that point.
Right.
Somebody could have been taking a nap, had their hearing aids out, but they just happened to have a gun by the bed.
Believe me, we've gone into houses where they've had the oxygen machines, mm-hmm. where they didn't hear us banging on the door. They didn't hear anything. They wouldn't have heard a cannon shot, you know. But and then the ones where you have sleep apnea,
right?
I mean, those things, they totally, you know, you're sitting there and you don't hear anything.
Sure.
So there's a lot of reasons to.
Anybody have sleep assistance drug, Ambien? Where you always heard stories about people would go out bowling and come home and not even know that they've done it.
That they've done it.
Anything interesting like that ever?
No, not that I can think of recently.
Yeah. And I know that you have a very serious job and all that, but can you share maybe a fun incident or funny or like the most outlandish thing that ever happened? Something that's going to get on, you know, cops or...
You know, you should have asked me before the interview. I would have thought of one. It's hard to think of something spur of the moment.
Nothing memorable.
Yeah, I mean, there's been
plain old police work.
There's been a lot of funny things. A lot of, you know, you get strange things that happen that you don't expect.
But people are very interesting.
Yeah, they're very interesting, and you get all kinds.
Absolutely. So, what's next for Lieutenant Mills? Run for sheriff?
No. No, I plan on staying with the department for 10 more years.
10 more years. There's no mandatory retirement.
No, there's no mandatory retirement, but I'm still young.
I know
you're making me.
Well, you've been doing this like 30 plus years.
Yeah, 33 years, I think. 32, 33. Since I was a child, almost.
Right. Yeah.
No
aspirations to be, you know, become join the LPGA tour.
No, you know, I mean, I moved here to retire or to retire from where I worked before, but I never really had any thoughts that I was going to not stop working.
Right.
And even if I do, at some point, even if I do resign from the sheriff's office, I probably would stay on 2 or 3 days a week doing volunteer work or something like that.
Right.
I just, you know, I moved here and I see all these people that are retired, and it seems to me that I don't know if I could find enough things to do.
I think
to keep myself busy.
I believe any retired person you speak to will tell you, after a year or so, they have no idea how they had time to go to work.
Time to go to work. I've heard that.
Yeah. And you know, I think retirement is not that you stop working; it's just that you stop getting paid
right.
for doing what you do.
Right.
And it does afford you a certain luxury of going, you know, that committee. I don't want to be on that committee.
Right. Right.
So.
And it does.
And boo boo.
And also, if you want to take 2 or 3 months and go somewhere, you can go.
That sounds good.
That's hard for me to do.
If you ever do separate from the force, where would you want to go for 2 or 3 months? You want to sail around the world, or
you know what? I don't even
hike the Appalachian Trail.
We spend quite a bit of time in Colorado, and
hiking and fishing.
Yeah, hiking and.
Are you a hunter at all?
I was. Ironically, I was before I retired that first time. Isn't that strange?
But no connection.
But I kind of slowed down and quit.
Yeah, they have grocery stores.
Yeah, they have grocery stores.
Yeah, my wife loves to fish, and my idea of fishing is going down to Sprouts and saying, I'd like a half a pound of salmon, please.
Right there, yeah. I should take up fishing again. I've been really busy with this, with Sandoval County. It's in a good way. And it's a busy place.
Okay. Well, since we are speaking with Lieutenant Mills of the Sandoval County Sheriff's Department, let's wrap this up with how can we folks, or is it us folks in Placidas, be as safe as possible? Like the David Letterman top 10 list, which there may only be 4 on, but...
You know, I think you just need to be, I'm not asking anybody to be paranoid or anything, but I think that you need to be aware wherever you are, whether it's at your home or whether you're shopping or wherever, be aware of what's around you. And don't ever hesitate to call the police. That's what the police, the sheriff's office, that's what we get paid for. I get a lot of people who are hesitant. Because they'll even get my email and they'll email me something that they probably should have just gone on ahead and called 911 on. And
wow.
And I know it's because they're thinking, well, I'm just wasting everybody's time. But I'll just email Lieutenant Mills, you know, and he'll look into it. And I think that a lot of people just feel that they're being bothersome. And I don't think that you should ever feel that way. And I kind of think that if you actually did become very bothersome to us, we would tell you at some point. But I mean, it's just, you know, we would much rather have the information and feel like you wasted our time than for us not to have it and it turn out to be something or somebody that needed, you know, looked at, or the
right.
information that we needed, a vehicle, whether it be a vehicle or a suspicious person or mm-hmm. or anything.
And I think a lot of folks... grew up or spent a certain part of their lives in communities where you're on a quarter acre or 0.2 acres and you have 150 homes in this community. You know who belongs there,
right.
who doesn't here.
Right.
You could be on an acre to 6-7 acres. You just can't go out the front door and shout to your neighbor.
Right.
You have to be aware that you're a little more isolated
right.
and just be a little more vigilant.
Right.
Vigilante.
Vigilant. Right. Vigilant. And I think, you know, keep your cell phones, lock your doors, lock your car, you know, don't leave your garage door open for days on end. And
close your windows when you leave the house.
Close your windows, don't leave them, you know, right up on this, facing the street, don't leave them wide open where they're like as wide as a door. You know, a lot of the windows in Placidas are the Pella windows where they kind of basically open out like a door.
Right.
So, I mean, when you drive by, you think, wow, that's a big door, you know, that's a big opening, you know,
right.
and a burglar thinks that, you know, they'll drive by and they'll say, golly. You know, ironically, we had caught some last year that they had been stopped, I guess you can thank us for it, because they had been stopped on a traffic ticket and arrested on I-25, they had to come back to court, and when they left court, they came and broke into some houses in Placidas to pay for their court. So I guess in a way we kind of brought him back.
Oh, it's your fault. Yeah, you need a good attorney. Yeah.
But I mean, that's how ironic sometimes this works out. And these people from Pecos.
Jeez.
I mean, but they and of course the judge wasn't very happy when we arrested him for the burglary and we took him back and we explained to the judge that, yeah, judge, they left your court last Friday and went and broke into some houses. And so, of course, the judge wasn't very happy about that.
Right.
But that's not a way to score points with a judge. But,
no, I don't think not.
but that's how ironic sometimes, you know, the things mm-hmm. that work out here. You know, it's typically not somebody from around here.
Also, we don't have... I mean, I would think in most communities there's like a group of 5 or 30 that you all know.
We have our group of 5 or 10 we all know.
And they just can't clean up their end?
Well, just... They've been here forever, and
it's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
Yeah.
So those are ones we just monitor, and we, you know, we try to keep an eye on and that kind of thing. But it's just been my experience that the majority of, especially the residential burglaries, has been people that are coming from kind of far away. You know, a lot of times I'll think to myself to blame somebody from the town of Bernalillo. Mm-hmm. You know, a name will come up, and they'll say, "Oh, it's got to be that guy."
Sure.
A lot of times it's not, you know, it's not always the one you think it's going to be.
Imported talent.
Yeah. So. Yes.
Well, I think we all know what we need to do, and like so many other things, like I guess eating right or exercise, this is a little bit easier.
Right.
Just lock your cars, just, you know, do that 1, 2, 3 check before you leave. Is everything safe? And
right.
We'll all be happier, and you'll be bored.
Maybe. I'll find something to do.
You'll go fishing.
There you go. Okay.
Well, Lieutenant Mills of the Centerville County Sheriff's Office, so thank you for taking the time out of your day. I know that I learned a lot and also reinforced a lot that I already knew about being safe here in Placidas and any place we go. You know, even things we didn't touch on, like, you know, travel. Don't right. leave your laptop sitting on top of the bed when you go out to breakfast or whatever. So. For KUPR, this is Matthew Bronson, Conversations, and until next time, thank you.